That's a great time of the year. It can be a hard time too. There's people with loss, people hurting. And as I've been looking at the Word, considering all that was happening that we've been speaking on the last three Sundays, the Advent, I wonder what was going through Jesus' mind. You know, this couldn't have been exciting. He left glory. And I don't know what that glory was like, but it was way better than what we have here. And humbled himself and became a baby. And we've looked at the announcement to Mary and Joseph, Mary's song, Zacharias, the miraculous gift of a baby there. Two old people. I got to tell you, Donna and I don't want a new baby. I can promise you that. That had to have been a traumatic event for that lady. Oof. Dare you get up. I'm too tired. You know, we're old. 9 o'clock is late. Anyway. But earlier, our elders have been teaching us about the big picture, going through the scriptures, the highlights. Pardon me a second. Of what God was doing. And it began, God creates this wondrous earth, the heavens and the earth. He, in his perfect wisdom, creates these, the foliage, the fish, the birds, everything. And puts man, creates man, and puts him over all of this. And subsequently creates a helper for man. I guess that's the only creation that he was asleep, but he wakes up and there's another another one there, a gal, a helper. And it was a glorious place, except God created man and all of this for the worship of himself. And man was amazing. He was unique. Everything else was far less than man, because man was created in God's image. He was unique, uniquely created for fellowship with God. And to fellowship with God, it can't be compulsory. It was free will. He was given free will, and he was given one law. And he failed, right? And he fell. And a disaster ensued, because God is just. And in his justice, he pronounced judgment. And in that pronouncement, he adds that there will be, from the seed of woman, someone will crush sin. Later on, it was confirmed with Abraham in the covenant. It's going to be through you, through your line. Look at the sky, all these stars. Look at the seashore, all the sand. You're going to have a huge nation. And in that nation, there will be a Redeemer, a Messiah. It was a glorious promise. Man had to be craving that by then. Oh, my word. I don't want to even give the estimate of the years later because it's just conjecture. But years pass. And people have been watching. The promise was repeated, the Davidic covenant, the new covenant. And then one day, this young girl, very young probably, compared to our standards today of when you get married or have a baby, an angel appears and it's like, and then Joseph, her betrothed, is told. And we've heard the baby's born. The shepherds are told with rejoicing. And we get into this text today. 8 days had passed. There was a circumcision according to the law. Another 32 days pass, 40 days for the purification of a lady after having given birth. And we have them going, 45 miles from, if they're still in Bethlehem, to the temple. And they get in there with their two doves, two turtle doves, or two pigeons, signifying that they weren't super rich, they didn't have a lamb. And they're there to follow the law and offer the sacrifice to the priest. He sacrifices the birds and sprinkles Mary with the blood, and she's purified. And at that moment, here's Simeon, this man, probably elderly man, is there, reaches out and grabs the baby, holds the baby, and we see some things about this man. And I'm going to back up the train a little bit here. And the scripture tells us that it was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of comfort of Israel, the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was on him. He was just. Men would say he was a good man. He didn't defraud people. He was upright. And he was devout. He was devoted to worship to God, devoted to his God. It speaks that this man was committed to God, to worshiping God. He knew the word. He was waiting for the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. It's not like waiting, I wonder if he's going to come. No, it's like kind of you're at the train station. You know the train's coming, you just don't know when. He knew the Messiah was coming, and he was waiting for him. And he was a man with the Spirit of God on him. And that's the greatest thing. In fact, that drove everything else. The Spirit of God was on him. God was with him. It drove the way he behaved, the way he lived. He was with God. The Spirit was on him. It drove how he worshiped. It was real. The Spirit of God was on him. This was serious to this man, and God knew it, and God put a spirit on this man. Wow. We were speaking of the Spirit yesterday, several of us here. Men's Bible study, it was really good. Oh my goodness. to have the Spirit of God on you. It's big. Most people don't realize the treasure to have God's Spirit on you. Elijah and Elisha. You know, Elisha's a protege. Elisha goes to Mount Carmel and has traumatic stuff happen. And then falls into some despair, maybe, depression a little bit, I don't know. And then God says, hey, he drives him out into the wilderness, goes to, ends up at a mountain, and there's all these dramatic events, and God says, you need a prophet. Go, anoint a king, anoint a prophet to be with you. He was mentoring Elisha. Time passes, and God reveals, you know, he's going to take him home. And he says, Elisha, stay here. I'm headed out. I've got some things to do. Elisha says, no way. No way. I'm going with you. He was a committed protege, wasn't he? That's pretty cool. And he's told again. I mean, he insists that he's going with him. And finally, they get to the Jordan, and Elijah grabs his cloak and parts the water. And across they go. And he says, what can I do for you before I go? Elisha was a man that knew what to ask for. I want double what you have. I like that. You know, I want more. Isn't that beautiful? That's so cool. And he says, well, if you see me when I go up in the whirlwind, surrounded by chariots of fire, you've got it. And off he goes. Elijah grabs the cloak. Yeah. Where is the God of Elijah? And parts the water. He was blessed. He received the Spirit. The Spirit rested on people in the Old Testament. Not every follower of God had the Spirit. And we see a man here, an Old Testament follower of God, and he has the Holy Spirit on him. And the Spirit said, you're going to see the Messiah before you die. And then he says, go to the temple. Wow. The Holy Spirit drove every part of his life, of this man's life. His, what he sought, how he lived, how he worshiped. Messiah came. He held the Messiah. There was Anna, who was also filled with the Spirit. She was a prophetess. And it drove her life. This woman prayed. Day and night. Prayed and fasted. They actually, there were places to stay in the temple. And she didn't leave. She prayed and fasted. I wonder what her life had been like. I wonder what Simeon's had been like. She probably got married at a very young age, at arranged marriage, who knows. 7 years later, she's a widow. We don't know what all went on. And she was old now. And she wasn't alone. She had the Holy Spirit. And she spoke with the Holy Spirit day and night, with God through the Spirit. And God revealed to her things. She was a prophetess. This Messiah that had come that Simeon's holding. I don't know what he expected, but it was a baby. God could have directed him to the temple. It could have been somebody older. We don't know what he expected. But it was a child. And he has this joy. He bursts forth with a song. Lord, wow. Now you are letting your servant, your slave, depart in peace. He was devoted to God. His life had been fulfilled. God had appointed him for a job, didn't he? That job was to sing the song of glory at the coming of the Messiah. The prophetic word was fulfilled. He had seen the prophecy fulfilled. He held the Christ child. He saw salvation. This was salvation in his hands, which he said, you have prepared before the face of all people. This salvation wasn't just for the Israelites. It was for every nation, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It was an honor for them to have the Christ child come through their line. That was a great thing. You know, I want to think a little bit more, speak a little bit more about Simeon. So as I've thought about him, you know, we don't see anything else about him in the scriptures, anything dramatic. He didn't do what Elijah did, you know. Who goes up a mountain, Mount Carmel, and, okay, take 12 stones, you know, pour water on it. And God answers in fire, licks the water. I mean, just drama. This man is drawn to the temple, speaks a few sentences, praising God. In his mind, you know, he spoke something. Maybe it'd be forgotten, gone. It was a holy scripture he spoke, and millions of people have heard his prophecy. He had no clue how God was going to use him. And it was huge. It's in the pinnacle of what God was doing for all of time. Everything centered with this baby finally arrived. And the man had been living in the Spirit. And he was who God chose. A man that was probably pretty obscure and without a doubt humble. Without a doubt. God gives his Spirit. And that's what we need. And that's what, in Christ, we have. I want you to think about something. All of you. If you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, God's in you right now. The God that created, that did everything, the power, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. The Holy Spirit in you isn't a little thing. It's a big thing. It's a little thing if you don't understand and if you aren't living in the Spirit. It's what we need. It's what our church needs. It's what I need. What am I living for? Am I living in the light, in the truth that the very God of glory is in me? It's really convicting. There's some things, you know, John 3, this ruler comes to Jesus, you know, and he's asking about salvation, and God says, you have to be born again. And in the uniqueness of how we were created, we're flesh, like every other animal, but we're spirit. The angels are just spirits, but they're servants of God. And they do have free will because they worship. But we're spirit and flesh. And back in Genesis, man broke this glorious fellowship that this baby arrived to restore. Man worshiped this baby. They worshiped God through the sacrificial system, the shedding of blood, a picture of what this baby was going to do in past, in history past, and through faith, they were in Christ. But today, guys, that baby came, and that baby grew up, and that baby suffered. I've suffered. I had a tractor roll on me and lay on there for quite a while. Those weren't cut off by the tractor. They had to be amputated. That's pain. That's suffering. You know what real suffering is? Real suffering is when you're alone and you don't have God. And all the gods of this world aren't working for you. And I've been there. And it's a hard place. I live not blocks, not even two blocks from this church. And I wanted to die really bad because I was empty. And I didn't have the Spirit of God. And nothing worked. Nothing worked. Nothing's fulfilling without God and without a Spirit. And if we aren't living for the Spirit, we're living an empty life. I'm telling you. And that Spirit came to us. Jesus said, you, the body, us, in Christ, will receive the Spirit. And at Pentecost, the Spirit came. They received power. It's amazing what people living in the Spirit do. I can't quote the word. I've read it many times. It's Latin. And it means, I held God. And that was kind of given to Simeon later on by the people as they spoke of Simeon, this Theo something. Doesn't matter, does it? Another man came along, and Jesus held him. He's sitting there, and he tells the people, he says, this little child, come here. And he held this little child, and he said, unless you become like a child, you won't enter the kingdom. We don't come with anything we have. We come with faith and humbly to God. Ignatius was this little child's name, actually. And he was the bishop of Antioch in Syria. It's a wonderful story to look up and read. Ignatius was a strong man in the Spirit. He was taken before the ruler and mocked by the, when they were coming for him, he was told by his parishioners, he was a bishop, get out of here, they're coming for you. He said, no. When they came, he fed them. Said, wait while I pray, and then went. And he told, as they were praying for his deliverance, said, don't pray that I'm delivered from this. I want to die for Jesus as he died for me. And he did. He was eaten by wild beasts. That's power, isn't it? He received power. Do we have that power? We need it. Probably we may not ever die for Jesus. I don't know. But we need that power to live for him. That's what I'm saying. What rules my heart and my life? What drives what I do, how I live, and what I hunger for? What do I hunger for? We need to hunger for God. That is what we need. We need to hunger for God and hunger for His Spirit to drive our life. I want to read in Isaiah 55. Oh, everyone who thirsts, this is New King James, it's what I read. I'm not saying any other translations better or worse. I'm just explaining if it doesn't match up. Everyone who thirsts, so guys, it's not saying just you who are thirsty. It's saying everyone, you thirst, come to the waters. Everyone's hungry for something. They feed that hunger with something. We're driven by something. Simeon loved his God and was driven by his God, and his God gave him the Spirit and used him in his work. Come to the waters. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Listen to me, incline your ear. Hear, and your soul shall live. That life is the Spirit of God in us. And the waters He's drawn us to, the bread of life, is what feeds the Spirit. We need God's Word in our life. And if you don't have God's Word in your life, something's wrong. It's really wrong. Because Jesus said, two chapters after this passage we've studied in Luke 2 and Luke 4, he says, man doesn't live by bread alone. Your body needs bread. Good bread is great, right? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, if we're in Christ, we hunger for the Word. And it's how we feed the Spirit of God. It's what the Holy Spirit uses. This man lived in the temple. They didn't have, I don't want to tell you how many Bibles I have. All you need is one, right? They didn't have that. A scribe had to write out a Bible, and it would take forever. It takes something like 73 hours to read through this book. I can't imagine what it takes to write it out. Actually, Mary's daughter, Jenny, started doing that. I don't know where she is now, but she's... Anyway, the Word of God, Simeon didn't have the temple. They read it there. The synagogues as well. So when you wanted to hear God's Word, you didn't just walk over to the bookshelf. There was no such thing as bookshelves unless maybe you were super uber rich. We need the Word. It's our life food. And if somebody isn't eating... I've seen this. Probably some of you have. They die. In those last days, they quit eating, and you know the time is close. Man, without the Word in their life, is dead. You're dead. A Christian without the Word in their life better look inward. Something's wrong. Couple blocks ago, away, 50 years ago, right here, I would come home on Sunday morning early, and I would open this book and read one chapter so I could tell someone that loved me. I read the Word. It was empty. I didn't crave the Word. I didn't hunger for the Word. If you aren't reading the Word, you probably aren't hungering for it. And if you don't hunger for it, we've got problems. We want a church that is strong in the Spirit. And we want a church that hungers for the Word. And it's a two-way fellowship. It's called abiding. It's the word, God speaking to me, and prayer, Anna, praying always. What is it in 1 Thessalonians 5? Pray without ceasing, we're told. Always pray. Why? You know, if somebody's with me and I'm awake, I tend to talk. I communicate. No apologies. I want to communicate with God, and I do. And we do. We need to, a lot. He needs to be brought into every decision, every direction. He needs to be part of every joy, and he will heal every pain. It is amazing to even be here today, to be alive. It was quite a few years after what I was speaking of, before God, one day, I couldn't sleep. And I pulled a Bible off the shelf, turned off the TV at 2 in the morning, and started reading. It wasn't right away. I was hungry. And God said, I wouldn't have done that on my own. That's not what I would have done. And God said, read. 6 days later, I will soon come up. I'm going to be 32 years old here. And I say that in all seriousness. I tell my family, I am 32. And it's January 6th. I'll never forget it. The Spirit of God. It's called new birth. And you never leave the Word. The Word is part of it. We're not Jesus Christ. We're not perfect. But that's the glory of the Spirit. Because he has a lot of jobs that he does for us. Simeon had the Spirit. We need the Spirit in our church, in our hearts, in our lives, alive. The Spirit does a lot of things. You know, the Father draws us to this. That's the first act. The Father gives that hunger. We don't do it ourselves. We should pray for it. That's what we should do. Father, give me a hunger for your Spirit, for your Word. The Spirit comes, and when we're crushed, when we're alone, when pain lands in our life, in loss, in whatever it is, the Spirit's the comforter. In Christ, we have the Spirit that comforts better than any person can, any friend can. The Holy Spirit's there. He's what gives joy in pain. And a lot of you that I know have been down this road and can attest to the Spirit gives joy in pain. We sin. We're still kind of tied to the flesh. Part of, don't have quite all of it. But there's three fingers in Kansas, guys. Sorry. But the flesh is what, that's where the problem arises. And I won't give a great testimony here of the flesh. It's just, let it be said, it can be a word said and spoken that touches you in a place you don't like, and you snap. It's a default reaction that shouldn't happen. And then the Spirit says, what did you just do, David? Time to pray. Time to wake up and pray. And remember, I'm with you, and I saw that, and I heard that, and it wasn't right. And in Christ, we repent. Repentance is the entrance into this relation with the Holy Spirit. You hunger, you repent. I used to regret, because regret is, oh, that sin messed this up in my life and I don't like it and I want it fixed. I've had a lot of people talk to me about God to fix a problem, and they were concerned about how their sin was affecting them and oblivious that the baby that Simeon held died for them, for their sin, in a way we can't fathom. when we see sin from what it does to Christ, to God. Okay, guys, I'm glad you're my family. This is kind of intimidating, but it's burning in me. It means my life. It's my life. I've lived for a lot of wrong things. And the new life is great. It's not easy. It's a pathway that's difficult sometimes. You have fiery trials, but it's a pathway to glory. And that glory is confirmed by another thing the Spirit does. He's the witness that we're in Christ. When the Spirit is talking to you, you know where you're where you need to be. When the Spirit convicts you that you aren't where you should be, that's coming from the Spirit. That's a joy. And when the Spirit spanks you when you're wrong, God has a pretty... Sometimes those spankings hurt. They're very hard sometimes. But it's a great thing that you have a Father that loves you enough to do that. That's a joy. And it's like I've told myself, you don't want a daddy that doesn't care. So rejoice when God corrects us. And that Spirit never leaves you and never forsakes you to help you. We need that. We need to be a church of people that are praying for the Spirit to work in our hearts, that are feeding on the Holy Word, the Scripture, that feeds us and gives us power and life, gives life to the Spirit. The Spirit uses the Word. We need to be a church that realizes the intense power of prayer. We need to be praying together, corporate prayer, for God to work in us, not for David to not hurt and not be. That's good to pray for, but that's not the great thing we need. I'm here for just a little while. You're here for just a little while, and we'll be gone. Lord, I thank you that you love us. I thank you, O Holy Father, that Jesus came to suffer. I rejoice in what he did for me, in the love that was manifest. Lord, we need to be changed into the image. That's another work that you do through your word, into the image of Jesus, to love like he loved.